Welcome to the fourth season of $100 Plus Mileage. While you were busy going to the beach, leaf peeping, and overeating at holiday potlucks, the New Hampshire legislature was busy drafting over 1,000 new bills. That's right. The New Hampshire House and Senate are going to vote on exactly 1,299 bills this year.
And maybe more if there are any late additions. And there are almost always late additions. I know, because I'm the one who stalks the legislative website and reads every word. By the way, I'm Anna Brown, Director of Research and Analysis for Citizens Count.
And I'm Mike Dunbar, Content Editor for Citizens Count. In case you stumbled across this podcast, we're not just crazy political nerds. Citizens Count is a nonprofit dedicated to providing unbiased information about New Hampshire issues and candidates.
Well, I'm still a crazy political nerd. I get an unusual amount of joy from reading about topics like whether you can ride a lawnmower with a suspended license or start a kangaroo meat farm in New Hampshire.
Ooh, this might be spoilers for a upcoming episode.
Could be. But those are absolutely two bills that are coming up for a vote this year.
Who said democracy is doomed? So what are we talking about today?
I decided to jump on the hype train and give the people what they want, a Taylor Swift episode.
Very exciting. We're keeping with the times. I love to see it.
Well, if you bought tickets to Taylor Swift's Eras Tour last year, you probably battled bots on Ticketmaster or paid a reseller thousands over face value. Bots and scalpers don't just impact international pop stars, however. Artists, venues, and fans in New Hampshire are getting scammed. Now the New Hampshire legislature is considering how and if the state can fight back. Today we're talking about SB 328, a bill that takes on deceptive ticket sales.
Well, we all heard about the fiasco on Ticketmaster with Taylor Swift, but how big of a problem is this in New Hampshire?
Last year, representatives from the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord, the Palace Theater in Manchester, and the Nashua Centers for the Arts all testified before the House and Senate about lost revenue and unusable tickets. Some of them estimated losses in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and that seems really big for a lot of New Hampshire venues. But how exactly are they losing money on bots?
There are actually a lot of different deceptive ticket sales happening. This goes way beyond Taylor Swift, as I learned. In some cases, websites posing as legitimate resellers defraud customers by selling straight-up fake tickets. The customer shows up to the venue only to discover they don't have a seat and the venue doesn't have their money for a refund. In other cases, websites use bots to monitor what tickets are for sale at a venue. A bot purchases a ticket only after collecting payment from an individual. But there's no guarantee the bot can purchase the exact seat the reseller advertised. For popular events like the Eras Tour, bots may buy a large block of tickets ahead of time to push up resale prices.
Right, that sounds familiar. So many bots, the website keeps crashing, right?
Yep. Scammers can also use stolen credit card numbers to buy and resell tickets. The credit card company contacts the venue to cancel the ticket purchase after they find out the card is stolen, but there's no way to notify the customers that bought the tickets off the scammer. Those ticket holders probably will not find out their tickets are canceled until they show up to the venue. And lastly, even if a reseller sells a customer a valid ticket, the customer will almost certainly pay a large markup, many times the face value of the ticket, without any benefit to the venue.
Right, and as a musician myself, I also want to point out that the artist isn't getting any benefit from that higher ticket price. So it's not just the venue that takes a hit. Artists aren't getting any of that jacked up ticket price either.
Correct. This business model is not really helping the arts.
Okay, so when I read this year's bill, SB 328, it looks like there are a few parts. First, the bill requires ticket resellers to disclose if they do not actually own the ticket is being sold in a block, and/or the consumer is not buying directly from the venue, all in big, bold font next to a checkbox the buyer must click.
Basically making sure consumers know there might be some funny business. The next part of the bill bans the use of bots to purchase and resell tickets. Then the bill prohibits the sale of quote-unquote speculative tickets, which means the tickets are not in the seller's possession at the time of the resale.
Right, so we're pretty much going down the list, addressing each of the different scams you talked about.
Sure. And lastly, SB 328 makes it illegal for a reseller to advertise tickets using any marketing content or other intellectual property without the permission of the artist or venue. So that would make it a lot harder to legally trick someone into thinking they were purchasing an original ticket.
Right, and all of this would fall under New Hampshire's Consumer Protection Act, which means either the Attorney General or an individual could seek damages.
Now we get to the tricky details. A lot of the language in SB 328 was also in a bill last year, and the House voted to send that bill to interim study. In this case, that's basically a polite way to send a bill to the circular file.
Well, I imagine a law like this would be difficult to enforce anyway. I mean, scammers, deceptive businesses are hard to track down, and they're also unlikely to comply with orders from the state of New Hampshire.
I think that's a big reason why that last year's bill did not succeed. At the April public hearing, Rep. Carrie Speier from Nashua asked, if the FBI can't help and anybody else can't help, how are we going to help? There's also some concerns about how the bill might unjustly limit legal ticket resales. And SB 328 does not clarify if the quote-unquote seller responsible for following the law includes individuals and/or broker websites. For example, if an individual used a website or app to resell a ticket and they copied some of the original venue's marketing content in their post, it's not clear whether the individual or the posting platform would be the one liable under state law.
Still, enforcement challenges have not deterred other states from forging ahead with bot bans and ticket resale regulations. For example, in 2023, Texas passed a law banning the use of bots for ticket purchases and sales. I know that one was definitely inspired by the Taylor Swift thing.
Yeah, there's definitely also plenty of news articles you can find that are just riddled with secret Taylor. They're not secret. Everybody knows Taylor Swift lyrics. They're like talking about there's bad blood between legislators and ticket, whatever. Yeah, yeah. So that bill, definitely related to Taylor Swift. I did not find any secret Taylor Swift lyrics in the bill text itself. But there's other approaches too. Virginia passed a law banning the misleading use of graphics by ticket resellers. So that's once again kind of making it harder to mislead people into thinking they are buying from the original venue. And Maine passed a law requiring ticket sellers to refund customers if a ticket is canceled or not accepted by the venue. This is definitely a nationwide issue. And since Congress isn't taking action, it looks like states are stepping up.
Well, listeners, if you have an opinion about SB 328, now is your chance to chime in. SB 328 has a public hearing on January 16th at 9 a.m. before the Senate Commerce Committee. They will be meeting in room 100 at the State House. Don't worry if you don't have a pen handy, though. You can always find that information on our website, citizenscount.org. We also have an advocacy toolkit tutorial on how to show up and testify. Anyone can do it.
Just imagine if Taylor Swift showed up.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Just imagine if Adam Sandler showed up.
Not a musician, but he is from New Hampshire.
Can we play a clip of the Hanukkah song?
Not in the budget and 1 month too late. But it is time for Only in New Hampshire, that segment of the show where we uncover a little bit of New Hampshire trivia. Anna, what have you got for us this week?
If you're following the presidential primary, which is very difficult to avoid, the Civil War recently came up at a New Hampshire event, and I wanted to dig into our state's history at that time. I could talk about how our state's only president, Franklin Pierce, fanned the flames leading up to the Civil War, or I could talk about how New Hampshire's Fighting 5th Regiment played a key role in so many battles, including Gettysburg. But I actually want to talk about one of New Hampshire's first major moves in the presidential nomination process. As we have discussed on previous episodes, for most of our country's history, party officials have chosen presidential nominees without any public vote or presidential primaries. To this day, the parties set the rules on how they choose their own nominees, and there's no law that they have to follow primary votes. We are, of course, seeing this play out with the National Democratic Party in the New Hampshire presidential primary right now. The National Party recently said it will more or less ignore New Hampshire primary this year. But going into that could fill an entire podcast episode, so let's go back to 1860. That year, William Seward was the likely Republican nominee for president. Abraham Lincoln was hoping for a vice presidential spot. But Lincoln made quite the impression on New Hampshire after giving a few speeches around the state. Footnote, evidently, he was visiting his son, who was taking an extra year of private school because he had failed to get into Harvard. So that's just kind of a funny side story about, like, his son is, you know, we all have delinquent children sometimes. Not delinquent, but, you know, not quite the same as at Lincoln's caliber.
It's a super senior, right? Don't they call those super seniors?
Yeah, I don't think he was sticking around to play another year of athletics, though. So anyway, Lincoln was in New Hampshire. He gave four speeches, really made an impression on us Granite Staters. Then at the National Convention that year, the Republican delegates from New Hampshire surprised the crowd when 7 out of 10 voted for Lincoln as the presidential nominee, not the VP. It was very early in the voting process, and this sudden strong show of support turned the tide. And of course, ultimately, Lincoln was nominated. So even when we didn't have a first-in-the-nation presidential primary, New Hampshire was still leading the way with surprising picks.
Yeah, and we can look all throughout presidential history to see moments where the New Hampshire primary has yielded surprising results that ended up having downstream effects. So I'm always in favor of more democracy, not less, personally.
Absolutely. And the thing that I also have told people about the New Hampshire presidential primary and what's going on at the national level with the Democratic Party, our delegates as a small state were never really impactful. Even if we had zero delegates, it's a drop in the bucket compared to Texas and California and all these other much bigger states. The impact is the fact that we're getting the attention. Our voters are out asking these questions about, for example, the Civil War at town halls, and that's what's getting the national coverage. And it's not always who wins the first time around. It's who does surprisingly well or who doesn't do as well as they should.
Right. Well, before we fall into the trap of losing our nonpartisan, non-political label here, I guess we better wrap up this episode for $100 plus mileage. But you can find more information and episodes at citizenscount.org. We'd like to thank Franklin Pierce University for producing and the Granite State News Collaborative for hosting. Our theme music was composed by me, Mike Dunbar. And lastly, we thank you for giving us a listen and thinking about how you can be part of what makes New Hampshire by the people, for the people.